And as I'm driving, oftentimes I'm praying. And so as I was driving and praying and just thinking about the Lord and thinking about, you know, just all of you, quite frankly, you know, I bring all of you before the Lord and just ask Him to minister to you and pray for your needs. And as I was, a very interesting word came to me. Now, when I say a word came to me, it's instructive to explain to you what I mean by that. I have found in 30-some years of walking with the Lord that He does not speak in an audible voice. He can, but He doesn't really choose to do that very often. And so when we say we hear from the Lord, what we really mean is that we feel inspired. And often what that means is that we have thoughts that we believe are from the Lord. Amen? And the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you can begin to discern those thoughts. Because let's face it, you know, too much pickles and ice cream gives you thoughts too. And please don't claim that they're from the Lord, but you start to be able to discern, you know, the voice in your thoughts, whether it's God or not. It's not easy all the time to do that, because we're always having thoughts. We're having thoughts that are generated by our own self and things that are going on, and we have thoughts, unfortunately, that are even able to be generated by the evil one. But the truth is that Miranda says, "My mom." The truth is, God can inspire our thoughts. He does. Probably more often than we think, right? Probably more often than we're aware of, God inspires our thoughts. And as He does, as we learn to hear His voice, boy, it's a wonderful thing, because God desires to lead us and guide us. God doesn't make it easy. I think there's reason for that, that He doesn't, you know, appear before us and always, you know, even when we'd like Him to, when we're going through things and we just want to hear a very strong word from the Lord, sometimes even then His voice is the still, small voice of God's Spirit. Amen? And it doesn't come just at our will when we say, "Okay, Lord, speak, I'm listening." It doesn't always happen right at the moment that we want it to. Amen? But if we are seeking the true guidance of our good God, I'm here to tell you that God will lead you, that God will guide you, that God will direct your paths. And the more you seek Him, the more He will guide you, the more willingness that you bring to Him. Amen? Willingness. You see, that's the key for God. God, it says in the Scripture, He searches the earth looking for a heart that is turned toward Him. What that means is someone that is willing to be led and guided and directed by God. Willing. And, you know, part of what I want to speak to you about today is has to do with that willingness. We're human beings, and so we're kind of a complex package, right? Yeah, we get married and we find out our wives are complex packages. How many men can say amen to that? Ha! They're complex packages. And we the more we're with them, the more we kind of realize, whoo, there's a lot there. There's a complex package. And we are too. They will tell us the same thing, that we are kind of complex. What I mean by that is that we have a lot of things going on. And a lot of things that have gone on in our lives that make us how we are. And as we bring those things to the Lord really does want to help us even get over ourselves. And over the things that have affected us in a negative way, right? And the fact of the matter is, there have been things in all of our lives that have affected us in a negative way. It's not God's will. But sin is not God's will. This world, unfortunately, has felt the consequences of that sin. And in our lives too, the things that have happened in our lives, it's not that God had predetermined that these things happen to you. I want to give you a very clear and a strong word today. Not everything that happens in your life is God's will. There are so many really good-hearted, well-meaning people that come up to others in their time of trouble and they say things like, well, God must have a reason for it. The problem with that statement is it makes you think that God is the one that did what it is that you're experiencing right now. That's the problem with that statement. Well-meaning people, you know, at times when you need help, they will say things like that to you, and they're trying to help. They're trying to help, but they're not. But they're not. Because what they're really saying, and it can influence you the wrong way, what they're really saying is that God did that to you, or God made that happen, and now he's, you know, he has a reason for making that happen. That's a lie. The hurts that you have felt, the things that you have gone through, the troubles you've been, you know, the truth of the matter is, God does not cause everything that happens in your life to happen. However, he is aware of it. Now let's talk about that difference, because today I want to talk to you about this word that the Lord spoke to me that has to do with influence. The things that have influenced us, and ultimately I want to get to the point of how God wants to increase our influence in our families, increase our influence in our spheres, you know, circles. Whether it be work, home, work, community, church. But let's start with this, that God can, listen, God can redeem everything that has happened in your life. It's not that he has caused it, but God is so powerful and so good that even the things that are bad, he can turn around for good in your life. Is that hard to believe sometimes? You betcha. When you're in it, when you're going through it, it's a hard word to hold on to because of how challenging our times have been, right? The truth of the scripture is this, that we have a God that can work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things. It doesn't say some things. You know, some of the things in your life, God can work for good. It says all things, no matter what happens in your life, whether God has caused them or not, and God is not the author of any bad thing. But he can turn bad things into good. It's the concept that I was really speaking about during offering, the concept of redemption, redeeming, you know? If you ever read that passage of scripture in the Old Testament, that says God can redeem or will redeem the years the locust has eaten. You know, it was a scripture spoken to the people of Israel in their time when they knew that they were going through hardships because of the result of sin. And God gave them this encouraging word that even though the locusts have come and eaten, you know, your harvest, and I want you to be able to expand that and think about it in your own situations, whatever that may mean to you. You know, the years the locust has eaten could mean for you, you know, the things that you have gone through that have really been devastating. The times of loss, for example. It says that God can redeem those times. And that concept of redemption is, again, when God can buy back those hardships, God can buy back those times. I believe that we have a God that is so loving that as we even sing songs like, you know, for those tears I have died, that I've seen every teardrop that in darkness you cried. And I'm here to remind you that for those tears I died, you know, those songs are inspired by God. The same thing I'm talking about. Those songwriters were inspired to write these words so that we would find encouragement in them. I believe that God sees every teardrop that we do cry, and God can redeem everyone. He desires to, but all he needs is our willingness. You see, God always needs a willing vessel to work in and through. And that's what I mean when he searches to find that willing person. Even redemption is a process that needs your cooperation. God needs your cooperation in what he wants to do in and through you. He needs your cooperation. He needs your willingness. Now, he knows our hearts, and he knows sometimes what it takes to get our willingness to happen, right? And sometimes, as you know, when you look back upon your life, now here I am, 56 and 1 day old, 56 years and 1 day old as I stand before you today. And when you look back upon your life, you begin to realize things. And the older you get, quite frankly, the more you can see. Isn't that true? Some people here nod your head, and I won't say that you're older than me. But the truth is, the older you get, the more you're able to see. Well, that's just common sense. I'm not saying that old people like me are better than young people like you, but I'm just saying that the older you get, sometimes the clearer your vision gets, just because of the experiences in your life. You begin to be able to look back and actually see that the Lord is faithful. Amen? You begin to be able to be willing to be willing. Willing to be willing. Because the things that keep you from being willing to have God work in your life and redeem the things that have happened in your life, the things that keep you from bringing about, from having God bring about this goodness, are things that you learn by experience. Things that you have been able to come through, and now they're behind you far enough that you can say, the Lord is faithful. That you can say, you know, I was young, but now I'm old. But one thing I know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Right? But doesn't it take that sometimes, that perspective of time, to be able to look back and say, God is faithful? You know, my good friend Dottie also celebrated a birthday before mine. And Dottie happens to be the longest term member of this church. Isn't that cool? I mean, I think that's just incredible. Her and her husband joined us one day at Old Bedford Village when we were in the log church there. And have been with us through it all, right? Through it all. I mean, through it all. Through our days of being at Old Bedford Village, when some mornings in the winter, you could see your breath inside the church. And our organist at that time used to have gloves that she put on to play the organ because it was so cold in there. When they say, despise not the day of small beginnings, buddy, we can look back, can't we, Dottie? And my point to you, all of you this morning, is that this is the perspective of time. And I'm standing here old enough to tell you that God is faithful. I'm old enough to be able to stand before you, and I have now the right to say to you. This is the benefit of being older, right? That God is faithful, and he will see you through anything that you're going through. He will redeem it if you're willing. And the willingness comes whenever you start being able to see that God is with me. He has not abandoned me. And he is at work trying to redeem the things in my life that have happened. the influences that I've had in my life that were not good, right? The influences in my life that are not good. God is trying, even right now, to redeem every one of them in your life. Everyone. Everything you've ever been through that's not good. God is right now, even right now, trying to redeem them. He is. And all he needs is your willingness, right? Willingness. Whenever we are willing to have God redeem all of our experiences, we say to the Lord things like this. We say, Lord, I am going to stop talking as if there's no hope in my life. I'm going to stop talking as if I have nothing to look forward to. Because, Lord, I know that that's a barefaced lie. I'm going to stop, as Paul was talking to me this morning about love driving out, perfect love driving out all fear. I'm going to stop living in the fear that is me thinking that you're not with me in control of my life, helping me through everything I'm going through. I'm going to stop living in that kind of fear. I'm going to stop living in such anxiety that looks to others as if I really have no faith in you. I'm going to stop it. And I'm going to be willing, Lord, to say, work in me. Work through all these things, Lord. Redeem them. And Lord, sooner rather than later would be good. Amen? Then, when we're willing, God begins to do that. And you know the scripture that says this, that God sometimes brings us through things that we then can help others go through, that they need someone that can say, I understand how you feel. There's a lot of times that we, once again, we come up alongside somebody and we want to help and we say, I understand, but we don't because we have not been there. We've not been through what they're going through. However, there is somebody that has. And God has allowed some things that happen in your life to happen, right? Not that he caused them, but allows them because he knows that you and he can come through it together. And now he'll put somebody else in your life that's going through the same thing. And without you, they're going to be in big trouble. They need you. You see, people need you. That was a good place for an amen. People need you. No, we need to realize that we can have a positive influence on other people, right? We can have a positive influence. We can have a positive influence. I'm going to talk to some of the younger parents in the congregation right now. We can have such an incredible influence on our children, huh? An incredible influence. I read this poem that, I'm not a poem kind of person, so you have to understand that I don't usually use them, but this was so good I thought that I would use it today. It's, I took a piece of clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. But then I came again when days were past, that bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it still it bore, but I could change that form no more. The mom let their kids let the Play-Doh out until it gets hard. Yeah, okay. And it says, I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded it with my power and art, a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. That early impress still he wore, and I could change it nevermore. You know, we want to have a positive influence, but I want to tell you, this is the word that I got. Boy, I took a long time telling you that, didn't I? The word that I got was being a positive influence is very, very powerful, but costly. But costly. It costs you something to be a positive influence. But it's very rewarding. And quite frankly, the more it costs, the more reward there is. This is a principle of the kingdom of God. Let me say it one more time now in one coherent sentence. The cost of being a positive influence is high, but the rewards are great. Now, let me be specific. If we want to have a positive influence in our lives, in our families' lives, in our children, in our grandchildren, in our spouses, all of our spheres of influence, our friends, if we want to have a positive influence, we must count the cost. Amen? We don't have the luxury. Now you're going to say, I stopped preaching and gone to meddling here pretty soon. But we don't have the luxury. Let's say that we have young children still in the house. We don't have the luxury, parents, of coming home from work and being tired and having someone that rubbed us the wrong way. We don't have the luxury of starting to gossip about that person, talking negatively about them. We don't have that luxury if you want to have a positive influence. You hearing me? You know this is true because they hear, they watch, they know, and they repeat. Huh. They actually learn so fast when they're young. And they learn from you. If you want to have a positive influence in others, you have to give up the luxuries that you once enjoyed. The luxury of venting, right? In front of others. Because your words, you realize, are powerful, right? In order to have influence, we have to count the cost. Hey, there has been no one in this world that has had greater influence than Jesus. I mean, when we think about influence, we got to go there, right? We got to go there. But you know, influence cost Jesus. All his life it cost him. In the Gospel of Matthew, it says this in the 8th chapter, in the 18th verse. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. When the teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And here's what Jesus said. You remember this verse? "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." You knew what Jesus was saying to that man. If you're going to follow me, he says, you got to realize what I have given up to do what I'm doing. And you got to be willing to count that cost. If anyone, later on he says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know that scripture, right? Well, I want you to think practically this morning. Denying yourself means denying yourself the luxuries of acting in a way that is wrong because your actions are going to influence those around you. That's the kind of cross that is practical day-to-day stuff that we got to do if we're going to be salt and light to our families and to our world. It's costly to follow Jesus. I'm going to tell you that. And I got to also tell you that not everybody is willing to pay that price. There have been some that really have done more harm to the body of Christ than good, because they haven't been willing to count that cost and follow Jesus and do what's right so that they are a positive, not a negative influence in their world. Jesus said, you know, about being salt. He said, if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? You know, it's only to be trampled under the feet. You understand what he meant by that. Your saltiness is your influence. And everybody has an influence, good and bad, right? Everyone has an influence. Your influence is your salt, if you will. That's what Jesus was saying. But you got to realize that you can actually ruin your influence by your actions, by your words. Having a positive influence is costly. We have a great passage of scripture in 1 Peter that men like to point at, you know, in marital counseling, you know, in premarital counseling. Oftentimes, I'll have a guy that comes and he's with his wife, and they'll remind me that wives are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. And they feel pretty good because they're quoting scripture, you know. Tell her, Pastor. I know that passage of scripture. Wives must be submissive to their husbands. Then I read the whole verse to them, you know, and give their self for him like Christ gave to the church. Right? In 1 Peter says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. The purity and the reverence of your lives. You know, I remember our church, when it was just getting started, that some of you women were coming without your husbands at that time. You remember that. And your wives, you know, were praying for you and saying, you know, I need my husband to be, if it wasn't saved, I need my husband to come to love the Lord and come to church with me. And so we prayed together, you know, and then over the time, you saw that it was interesting because some of the husbands began to come with their wives, and it was such a cool thing to see. But I guarantee you, if you talk to those women today, it wasn't by words that won their husbands. It was by their actions, right? It wasn't them going home and beating their husbands over the head with the Bible and saying, you got to get your stinking butt to church. But it was a wife that loved their husband into the kingdom of God, or into the church, right? If they already were saved. Yeah. But the purity and reverence of your lives. This world, I want to tell you, now let's just talk to all of us. I'm not quite done picking on husbands and wives, but let's just talk to all of us today. The truth of the matter is, there has never been a time in human history where there is so much negative influence in the world. I believe that. There has never been a time in human history when there is so much junk out there that bombards us. And it's not just because evil has increased, but the ability of evil to be spread has been increased because of technologies, you know, the information age and everything else. I mean, we're bombarded, church. You know that. I know that. We're bombarded with messages all the time that are anti-God, anti-Christ, that are wrong. I mean, Kim was telling me just the other day about a pastor and his wife that were going now the second time with another couple to see 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I didn't see it, didn't read the book, don't want to. And it's not that I'm not a romantic. My wife is sitting here today and she'll tell you I'm a hopeless romantic. Right? Isn't that true? Come on, give me testimony here. But for a pastor to say, I got to get you back now. I don't know how I'm going to get you back. But for a pastor to say that he's going again with another couple, taking another couple to see a movie that I understand, if you're a woman, I don't know how you would ever want to go see a movie that what I understand promotes, you know, bondage and cruelty and abusiveness. I mean, that's just stupid. I don't care how sexy it is. It's just stupid. Pastor, twice. You know, that's ridiculous, church. That's a pastor who has succumbed to the influence, right? He's under the influence, all right. He's not hearing too clearly. He's hearing all right. But I guarantee you, it's not God that he's hearing. We're bombarded with messages, with influences all the time that are not of God. And if we're going to be the Christian that God calls us to be, the positive influence that we're going to be, that we can be, we got to stop giving ourselves the ability to listen to that crap. We got to cut that influence off. It does affect you. It does affect you. How many here have been a teenager, you know, and maybe you were raised in a Christian family, and, you know, it was those years where you just had to have that rock and roll. I mean, I was a drummer. I mean, come on, you know, you got to just give me my rock and roll, right? And then you come to the church and you hear, that's devil music, you know, and as teenagers, what you want to do is run. You know, you want to like, I don't want to hear that crap, right? Come on, nod your head. It's true. And you don't want to hear the message that those words actually do have influence in your mind. And then you say things like, well, I just like the beat, right? And I did. But I can still, to this day, repeat the lyrics of those songs. I won't. But I could. The gym where Kim and I work out, you know, they play that music. And if I'm not careful, I catch myself pretty soon. I'm singing that. I know those words, but the words aren't good. Right? They stay in you. It does make a difference what you choose to listen to. Now, I like all kinds and all styles of music. Don't get me wrong. I really do. And I really appreciate good musicians, especially good drummers, you know. I really enjoy listening. Like, well, I won't go. I was going to go to The Who, but that's not a good example either. So but I'm going to come back and say that I love all that, but the truth is, I got to choose today what is going to influence me because it will come out and it'll affect my influence on other people. If I want to be a pastor, and I'm telling you, when I was getting this word, don't you think that I wasn't convicted as well? Because I was. As a pastor, I've been crying out to the Lord, Lord, I want to have more of a positive influence on the people that you give me to shepherd. I take that seriously. And as I was preparing, you know, the Lord's just speaking to me and saying, you want to have a greater influence? Pay a greater cost. That's the way it works. For you too, not just for me. The days are gone, church, when, you know, the church model which had been broken for so many years, is that, you know, the pastor is paid to do the work and preach the sermons and study and pray and everything else. You know what? We have found out that model is broken. It's never it morphed into that over the years, and it never should have become like that. You are the church as much as me. The church is the body of Christ. We're called together. We're the ones that are together supposed to use all of the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God gives us for the building up of one another. It's not a pastor's job. That's a model that had not been there in the early church. When we picked the name Acts for this church, we said we want to go back to that early church. We want to go back to, you know, the purity of the word, and we want to be the family of God, the body of Christ. We want to recognize that we are not spectators. We are participants in this thing called the church, which does not mean a building, but it means the people. So this word is for you and me together, that if we want to have a bigger positive influence in all the areas of our life that God gives us, that we've got to be willing to count the cost. Let me read you this scripture. Ezekiel chapter 22. And I'm going to read you verse 30, but I like to give you a little bit of context for the passage. So I want to go back to 23. But when we get to verse 30, really just tune in here, okay? It's not that you want me to go to sleep until then, but tune in. Ezekiel said, "Again the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, 'You are a land that has no rain or showers in the day of wrath.' There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy thing. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash the deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice." Now here it is. You ready? "I looked for a man," said the Lord, "among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none." This is Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 through 30. In your studies this afternoon or tomorrow, this week, I want you to revisit that passage of Scripture. And I want you to think about the day you're living in right now. Because the things that I have read that the Lord was speaking about that time are happening right here in our midst. It's the day we're living in, where there is a blurring of what is right and wrong. Even worse, when what is wrong is being called right. Kim and I were again talking about this, and we talked about the concept of and all the things behind the practice of homosexuality today, and we said, you know, the reason that so many people are becoming more willing to come out, so to speak, is because there is more acceptance today than there ever has been of those things. And as it becomes accepted, then people stop fighting those tendencies and give in to them. right? Well, let's take out homosexuality and just put in morality, period. When things that are wrong, shades of gray, whatever you want, are called right, then people cast off restraint because there is no vision of what truly is holy and good and pure and right. And people engage in practices that, you know what, end up hurting so many others, not to mention themselves. You see, sin devastates families. It is so hurtful. In our lives now, those of us that have felt that devastation, we must say to the Lord, it stops here. It stops here. It stops here. I look for a man, the Lord said, to stand in the gap. You know what that means, right? To stand up and say, it stops here. It's not going to happen in my family anymore. The enemy comes, I know, to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord has come that I might have life and have it to the full. It stops here with me. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And I don't care how old you are, how young you are, today is the day to do that very thing. To say it stops now. It's not going to happen on my watch. I recognize the call that the Lord has given me to influence my family. And I don't care what the devil says about my past. The Lord will redeem it. He will restore the years the locust has eaten, because I will be faithful. I will be willing. I will stand in the gap on behalf of my family, on behalf of my friends, on behalf of my church, on behalf of my coworkers. My dad was an incredible man. When he wasn't drinking, there was no more loving man, no more giving man in this world to his family. Anybody that knows him will tell you that. My dad's sphere of influence was pretty small. In other words, he really focused in on his family. You know? It's God's desire for you, and I'm going to just end with this word. It's God's desire for you to focus in on your family first. Always first. But to realize that after your family, God calls you to ever-increasing spheres of influence in your life. Are you following me? He always wants to expand your circle of influence. And the principle is this: if you're faithful in this, he will entrust you with even more. You can have as big of influence in this world as you're willing to have. That's the truth, church. Start here, right? Start here. Focus there in your family. Make sure they're taken care of, right? And realize then, though, when you get that, that God wants to continue to increase your spheres, your circles of influence. Amen? You can make a difference. And you will. For God will be with you, huh? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have been so faithful to us and also so merciful. Father, we will stop right now believing that you are the cause of the bad things that's happened in our lives. But we will call upon you, Lord, to redeem those things and to bring good about, just as you promised us in your word, if we're willing. And so today we say we're willing. We want you to redeem those things in our lives and to enable us, empower us, oh God, to be a positive influence. And Lord, yes, we recognize that there's a cost to that. We say to you today, Lord God, help us to be willing to pay that cost, Lord. Give us, Lord, a vision of the rewards of that faithfulness, the rewards of that positive influence. Help us to see our families growing healthy and strong and whole. Help us to see, oh God, our family changed, our work changed, our community changed, our world changed. Help us to see the influence that we can have, know how great the rewards will be, oh God, and to know that they will continue even long after we are with you in heaven, Lord. That will continue. That influence will continue. And one day we'll stand with you in heaven, and there'll be so many people surrounding us, Lord, that have been there because we have had this influence. Help us to see that and be willing, Lord, to pay the price now to have a greater positive influence in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.